Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
This is a special NFL draft edition of The Boss.
The Boss himself, and I don't mean Springsteen.
In the gloss. Check out my lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the Silver Can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Live from Las Vegas, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Viva!
In Las Vegas, I'm David Gow, the boss, sitting next to me, Carla Dawson, the gloss. And it is fun to be in Vegas, which is really the center of the universe with the NFL draft going on right now. And you had a good night last night. You were, I mean, the draft ended, see, in Vegas time. It was still early when the
draft
ended.
Started at 5.
Yeah, it started at 5.
Like bingo hour.
It ended at 8-ish, about 8:15. And then you headed out onto the streets. And what took place out there?
I didn't feel glossy in Las Vegas. I feel a little dull. I got to up my game here, that's for sure.
Listen, the gloss, you were born for Las Vegas. You shine in Las Vegas. You fit in Las Vegas.
It's
you
my were... Raider shine. It's just giving off the vibes. I think that's what it is.
For those who have not seen the gloss, I might describe her
in
two extremes. Which she's got the glossy side of her, which is glamour and lipstick and beauty. And then there's this dark Raider side, which is all silver and black with spikes.
The princess still.
And the princess of darkness.
Yeah.
But my point is, there's an intersection of those two identities that takes place here in Las Vegas uniquely. You're in Raider country, you're in glossy country, and you fare very well.
And you've had to endure it for the last 2 days.
Oh,
God bless you. You're coming out okay, boss.
I'm a survivor. But Vegas is fun. It's electric. It's great to be in the NFL draft city. I mean, our best point of experience and context was we were in Nashville a few years ago, pre-COVID. And Nashville was an extraordinary host city.
It was the last in-person draft, yeah.
Last in-person draft, and Nashville's an electric environment as well. How do you compare the two cities, Nashville versus Las Vegas?
Completely different. I came into this weekend thinking, Vegas is going to blow this out of the water. But you know, the boss and I went to see the stage at the Bellagio last night, you know, the outdoor stage. It looked like a little mini something. The scale of everything in Las Vegas is so huge that I think it's kind of swallowing the draft.
Fair enough. Wow. We're going to unpack the draft when we come back. We're going to look at that first round. Lots of surprises, lots of intrigue. We'll look at that when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's a special NFL draft edition of The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the Silver Can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Now, live from Las Vegas, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
This segment of The Boss and the Gloss on Sports Map Radio is brought to you by our friends at Steel. Steel maximizes the benefits of battery-powered tools while delivering powerful performance. Thank you to Steel. Okay, last night, a special night, first round of the NFL draft, and there was so much intrigue, of course, going into the draft. We knew there really wouldn't be a lot of quarterbacks at the top, as there had been in other years, which made it feel so wide open, and indeed it was. Some observations, obviously, wide receiver has become the position in the NFL when you consider the trades that have been made and all the picks that went in the first round last night.
Six wide receivers in the top 20. Six wide receivers.
The run started. Drake London was the first off the board. And then a pair of Ohio State receivers.
I thought it was really cool.
And now coming into the night, we knew that it was possible that Debo Samuels might well be traded. Debo was not traded. He's a wide receiver who would like to be traded. But there were two top-flight wide receivers who were moved last night.
It was called a brownout.
Yes, it was the brownout. It was amazing to see Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, and then the other A.J. Brown, both being traded. And those are two premier guys. Now, Marquise Brown, I think his stats have been muted a little bit by playing for that Ravens offense, which is really a run-first offense, and Lamar Jackson is growing into becoming a passer. So Marquise Brown is a speedster. He's a talented guy. And he got the chance last night to go to the Cardinals, where he'll be reunited with his collegiate quarterback, Kyler Murray.
That's right. I mean, Marquise Brown's numbers last season, 91 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. I think he's going to flourish in Arizona with Kyler. This is going to be great. Lamar is not happy, I might add.
Well, it was so interesting because, of course, Lamar, I guess, didn't realize this was coming. He heard about it, and he tweeted out WTF. He was very upset to lose his number one receiver and somebody with whom he has a great relationship, apparently. And at the same time, while he's tweeting out his frustration, there you saw Hollywood Brown celebrating with Cardinals fans about his arrival to play for the Cardinals. Surely Hollywood Brown knew this was coming before the night. He was over there celebrating. But I guess Lamar Jackson was still stunned and surprised at this news.
Right. And Lamar did clarify this morning that it was not any diss on the center that they took, Lindenbaum, whatever it is at the end. I have to look at that.
Yeah, Ravens picked up perhaps the best center in the draft, the only one taken last night. And so
Tyler Lindenbaum.
He's a great talent. I mean, the amazing thing for the Ravens, when you look at their draft, they took two guys. They took unheralded position guys. They took a safety and they took a center, but they got the best guys at each of those positions. And that's the way they play it, right? So when you think about a roster of 22 starters, they got two guys who will start this year. And that was a pretty good first round for them. Now they lost a starter in Marquise Brown. So their net gain of one in the starting, but I think everybody feels like those were two quality picks that they made last night.
And listen, the Ravens are, they didn't make the playoffs last season, which was unusual. They've got an MVP caliber quarterback in Lamar Jackson and an MVP himself. They are not going to do something that is going to harm this trajectory that they're on. I mean, round one is done. So there's that. They got the best position, the best people at those positions. There's still rounds two and three and then four through six. I got to believe that the brass in Baltimore are going to take care of Lamar Jackson. They know what he needs, and they probably see other talent that they're able to pick up. You know, they're not going to leave him without weapons.
Well, and everybody thought it was great value to get the safety, Kyle Hamilton, at 14 overall. By many accounts, he was a top 10 pick, so that was value. And then, of course, they got that great center,
and
Tyler
he's a
Lindenbaum.
Mensa guy, Kyle Hamilton. Like, he is really smart, freaky smart.
Yep.
And that's also going to be helpful. You know, so that was a really quality, great pickup for Baltimore. And Lindenbaum, the same. He's highly touted. So those are great needs.
Okay, the other big trade, of course, A.J. Brown going from the Titans to the Eagles. Eagles giving up both draft capital and now financial capital.
Big-time financial capital.
$100 million
Four
deal.
4 years, $100 million with almost $60 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know, that was a clear swap. That's what that was. They brought in Trayvon Burks from Arkansas at number 18. I mean, drafted the replacement immediately. And a replacement who they feel looks like A.J. Brown.
Well, the way I think about that trade, from the Titans' perspective, yeah, they're cap constrained and they didn't want to pay. I mean, this was a financial play.
AJ Brown's been grumbling. This is not new.
Yeah, they didn't want to pay AJ Brown the kind of money he wanted. There are reports they were willing to go to $20 million average annual valuable salary. He wanted 25, and the Eagles gave him the $25 million. So A.J. Brown gets what he wants, going to the Eagles, and then I guess what the Titans can do here is regroup to get Burks, Treylon Burks of Arkansas, an outstanding wide receiver there in the first round. He's a younger version of A.J. Brown and a less expensive version, most importantly. And so, yes, it gives the Titans the chance to resync their cap structure, and we've seen this a lot with a lot of teams across the league as they're trying to resync the way they're investing dollars in their players. For the Eagles, it's an amazing run because the last 3 years in the draft, they have basically made a commitment to wide receivers. I mean, this year, of course, they're giving up their first-round pick here to go and get A.J. Brown. Then last year, they traded and they got Devontae Smith. Remember, they traded up to get the great wide receiver from Alabama, Devontae Smith.
The Heisman winner.
And I mean, look, that was a good pick. He had a good first round. I mean, a good rookie season. I think it's a great outcome for him. The year before in the first round, they also went and got a receiver, Jalen Reagor. Now, Reagor hasn't worked out, but that duo of Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown will be a formidable duo and certainly equips Jalen Hurts to hit his potential. It's sort of a put up or shut up. Now,
no, it's tryout. It's a tryout year for Hurts. Actually, it's like now we've got the necessary pieces that you need.
Yep.
Let's go. Let's see what you got.
So that really was notable that all that receiver activity was going on, and yet Deebo Samuel not traded. No activity there. Interesting to see that he was left out of the dialogue, and maybe that will change today. You know, the other big rumor was Baker Mayfield, but with no quarterbacks being drafted in the first round, Baker was not traded.
Just the one, Kenny Pickett.
That's right. Kenny Pickett was drafted by the Steelers in the first round, but it was a light night for quarterbacks, and I think that will change tonight. And as we see quarterbacks come off the board, I think somebody may say, well, I'm not going to be able to get the quarterback I want. I'm going to go get Baker Mayfield.
Well, it looks like there's four teams that are linked to Malik Willis for tonight, and he should go early tonight. Minnesota, Seahawks, Falcons, and Lions, which I think the Lions is fascinating. I wouldn't have thrown that in the mix. But those are the four teams projected to be after him tonight early in this second round.
Well, it's hard to believe that the Lions are going to be settled on Jared Goff as the long-term answer.
I agree, and I don't think they should be. I like their looking at a quarterback. I think it's aggressive, and I think that's what they need to be doing. Yeah, fascinating. I really like Malik Willis, though. Not only is he the best dual-threat quarterback in this quarterback class, but, you know, as far as character goes, this guy, he is a man of God, and he's very vocal about it. And he has befriended this sweet girl who's had like 21 surgeries, can barely talk. He texts with her every day. This isn't, I'm doing it for the cameras or having this, you know, really sweet, she comes to the practice once. He texts with her every day. And they, you know, play games together. And she's taught him certain, you know, fun little games, whatever. Like he just said, I saw a little snippet on this, and he said, you know, this is someone who's been through over 20 surgeries in her life, and those of us that don't have a road like that and are blessed should be giving back and reaching out to them. And she sent him a little draft video. She can't really talk, but she said, I love you. I miss you. I'm proud of you. And he sent it right back and said the same thing. He's a cool guy. So there's, you know, I'm happy about him anywhere. I think that's a great pickup.
All right, he got your endorsement early on.
He did.
When you get the blessing
of
the gloss, you know you're in a good spot. All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf. And I do look forward to asking him,
me too.
What about this quarterback class? It may be the weakest QB class since 2013. And we'll ask him if he thinks so as well. And that will be Ryan Leaf when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to an NFL Draft Edition of The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the Silver Can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Live from Las Vegas, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Boston Gloss on Sports Map Radio. Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback. Ryan, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. You know, the last time I saw you, I think it was Radio Row in Los Angeles, and we were at one of those all-you-can-eat steak places, and there must have been 12 of us at the table, and I think you won the award for the most beef consumed that night.
Hey, you know, you got to be careful when you take me to an all-you-can-eat kind of protein buffet. That's begging for a beating.
Hey, listen, it was the only dinner I could afford when I had you at the table. And all you can eat was a pretty good bargain. I think we got our money's worth that night with you.
He's got a lot of real estate to fill up.
Yeah, well, me and my wife appreciate you having us and enjoying that time during the Super Bowl. It was a lot of fun to see you and everybody involved with Gal Media.
Indeed it was. And now it's fun to be in Vegas talking NFL draft. And one of the notable things, of course, last night was only one quarterback taken in the first round, and that was not until, I think, about number 20 overall, with Pickett going to the Steelers. As an NFL quarterback, a guy who knows the position very well, how do you evaluate this class, and were you surprised that there was just one name taken in the first round?
I wasn't surprised. I was worried that some teams would panic, and they would impulsively move up and reach for a quarterback because they feared missing out on, you know, changing their future, changing what quarterbacks can do in the NFL. And so I was reassured by the patience of these teams and taking the players that they need, the most talented players that they need at other positions. And you know, Pittsburgh doesn't necessarily need a quarterback right away, but they feel like Kenny Pickett could be the next guy to in line for Ben Roethlisberger. It reminds me a lot of what the San Diego Chargers did when they had Drew Brees and then gradually allowed him to leave with free agency and moved on to Phillip Rivers. I could see that happening with Mitchell Trubisky handing the keys to the car to Kenny Pickett down the line. And then I expect probably a few teams either to find a way to move up tonight, or if the Seahawks sitting there right around 40 and 41, could make a move for the next quarterback in line, which I think will be Malik Willis.
Ryan, it's great to have you in, and you've been doing a great job filling in for Rich Eisen's show as the lead host. So tell Rich he better get back quick or he's going to be out of a job.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. It's really kind of Rich, you know, when he has to go do work for the NFL Network around the NFL draft and the combine and things like that, that he reaches out. It's a wonderful platform. We had an amazing show today. I got Peyton Manning to come on. You know, our draft was 24 years ago, and so we had a good chat about all that, everything he's up to, and just kind of the friendship that evolved over time with him and me. And like I said, 25 years later, we're now, you know, in the broadcasting world, retired football players and dads. So it's kind of come full circle.
Well, that's a good place to be. Let me ask you, Ryan, about your former team, the state of the Chargers. They were quiet last night, you know, with their one pick. Do they really have any needs? I mean, I'm sitting here as a Raider fan. Just in that Raiders-Chargers game that sent the Raiders to the playoffs and sent the Chargers home was probably the best game I saw all of last season. And seeing Justin Herbert convert on how many fourth and longs, I literally was watching that game with my mouth wide open. What needs to happen with the Chargers, if anything? Do they have needs? What do you see going forward with this team?
Well, I will say this. I was in London at the time working for Sky Sports NFL, and so that game kicked off at 1:25 a.m. So it was about 4:45, 5 a.m. when I'm watching that overtime play out, and I was just so in awe of Justin Herbert and his ability. I could argue that he may be the best quarterback in the NFL, and it's just a matter of whether or not his young coach Brandon Staley cannot get in the way. Right, he made some bad mistakes down the road. They had the Kansas City Chiefs game won late in the year, and then the decision to call the timeout late probably persuaded the Raiders to continue on and go. They could have gotten into the playoffs. And I tell you right now, with the way the playoffs went, the Chargers were as capable as anybody to get themselves to the Super Bowl, especially in the AFC. So they're in a good place, and I like the guy they got, another guy to protect Justin Herbert. They have the wide receiver Mike Williams back. They need to add some defensive pieces, but I really like where they're going.
Yeah, they took Zion Johnson last night, right, in the interior guard position. I mean, that's a nice way to fortify the line for Justin Herbert. I will tell you, the other day I saw highlights of John Elway playing, and I looked at him, and I thought, that looks like Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. I mean, the strong arm, the size, the mobility, it's quite a comparable.
It is. You're exactly right. It's very comparable, and you know, sometimes it's kind of a copycat league. You know, if you find something that works, you tend to try to replicate that. It's always happened. It's been that way for forever in the NFL, and here's just another example of that.
So one other hot topic yesterday, by the way, joining us now is Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback. I want to ask you about the wide receiver class. Six guys taken last night in the first 20 picks, an extraordinary group of wide receivers. Who stands out to you? Who do you really like in that group?
I like Drake London. I got to, you know, I covered him constantly in the Pac-12, and he's a special player. Clearly, the Atlanta Falcons saw that. You know, a guy who was injured, a guy who wasn't able to still run his 40, they still, you know, pulled the trigger on that pick at 8. And then the onslaught of what came next, right? You went the back-to-back guys from Ohio State, and then Jameson Williams with Detroit moving up to get him, Treylon Burks to take over for A.J. Brown, like we talked about, and it's imperative because of what teams are doing. There are certain teams that have told you they'll pay and break the bank for a wide receiver, and there are certain teams that have told you we will not. And Tennessee last night said we will not pay that price tag. We will go get one with a fifth-year option. Look at it this way. A.J. Brown's going to make $25 million a year over the next 4 years. Treylon Burks, over the next 4 years combined, will make $15 million. They can develop them. That's what it is. And you find out which teams are willing to do it. I am not of the mindset that you go pay wide receivers. You pay quarterbacks, you pay guys that protect the quarterback, and you pay guys that rush the quarterback. That's what changes football games. If you don't have a quarterback to get to the ball to the great wide receiver, that wide receiver just kind of rots on a vine. So it's imperative that you have the guys in place. And when you have Hall of Fame type quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, you let Tyreek Hill, you let Devontae Adams go and spread their wings because you know your quarterbacks can make other players better.
Ryan, you mentioned Drake London out of USC as the first receiver taken. A couple other Pac-12 guys, Devin Lloyd in Utah, went in the first round. Trent McDuffie out of Washington. What do you think of the Pac-12? They've definitely had some down years, and I know you cover them intimately. You're an alum of Washington State. Who do you like going forward? And are we going to have, you know, some more competitiveness in the Pac-12 going forward?
Well, I think it's an incredibly competitive league. It probably may be the most competitive league in all of college football. As of right
within
now,
its conference, yeah.
Yeah, we just don't have an elite team, right? And Lincoln Riley coming to town, changing the atmosphere and the landscape, I think, is going to make a big difference at Southern California. I think Dan Lanning leaving the SEC, taking a job on the opposite coast, is going to have to recruit and build Oregon, which has been a team that's been in the mix. So I think they're just fine. I think that people like to overreact when you're mm-hmm. absent from the college football playoffs, simply because that is the end-all be-all every single year. But, you know, the University of Oregon has presented three first-round draft picks in the top 10 over the last 3 years, right? Justin Herbert, Penei Sewell, and then last night Kayvon Thibodeau at number 5. I really think Kayvon could have been the number 1 overall pick over Trayvon Walker. So I think we'll be just fine. They got some really cool games next year in terms of crossover conference games where they have to showcase and win. Georgia and Oregon play in week 1. Washington State goes out to Madison, Wisconsin in week 2. There are a lot of games like that that really can, I think week 1 Florida and Utah playing. I think Utah is going to be extremely good next year once again. So they have a real opportunity to plant their flag next year with some of these non-conference battles.
We're joined here by Ryan Leaf, and now we've delved into college football. So I have to ask you about the fate of college football with NIL, transfer portal. Are we entering a new era where there's almost a free agency in football? And what's the prognosis for the conferences in the league?
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, when you got the best of the best out there, and like Nick Saban talking about how this could get so out of hand that it could really be detrimental to college football, that you have to take notice. The NCAA absolutely blew this. Mark Emmert fought tooth and nail to try to keep this away, going all the way to the Supreme Court and got their butts kicked and did no due diligence around how to make it work. So they just opened it up as a free-for-all, and as we've seen, it's become an arms race. And so I don't know. I know that the product on the field a year ago didn't change. It was great. It was good, solid football, well-coached, well-played. So I don't anticipate that. What I do anticipate is that there are teams that are going to be able to throw more money at it. We just heard that Oklahoma is going to be able to pay every single scholarship athlete on the football team $50,000, where I heard my alma mater is somewhere around the $6,000 area for NIL. So, I mean, that is a huge difference. If you're a recruit, as simple as something like that could change your mind. And
it's going to be a wild west, no question. Hey, Ryan, we got to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. You guys have a great rest of the week and weekend.
Take care.
You're listening to an NFL Draft Edition of The Boss
and The Boss
on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the Silver Can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Live from Las Vegas, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We are in Las Vegas, home of the NFL Draft this year, and it is electric, the atmosphere out there. I mean, we were talking about walking the streets last night. After the draft, crowds thronged
people. I'm glad
people.
We were a pair because it was something out there. I needed a bodyguard.
Well, yeah, you can imagine, for those of you who don't know, the Gloss, who when she walked down the strip of a Las Vegas, there were crowds just oogling and googling and eyeing them.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
there was a lot
yeah.
of buzz. Everyone
you
was circling
picked up
you.
A lot of little interesting cards.
Well, it's interesting. There were all these nice people who kept stopping me and offering
nice
me.
People.
They were little business card-sized sheets, and there was with pictures of usually a woman, and she was always smiling at me in the picture. She also wasn't wearing anything, and then there was a phone number at the bottom, and I don't know, they kept giving me these sheets of paper. What was that to do with all that stuff?
It is just, it's excellent people watching.
It's overt. And
it's overt.
There's
I
a
like
big
it.
Billboard, a mobile billboard that drives up and down the Las Vegas Strip, and it has this huge sign that says, "Escort tonight?" Question mark. Call, and there's a number. And there's just no mystery to it. And the women are there smiling at you on the billboard. This is Sin City. It's living up to the reputation very much so.
And the sidewalks are sticky. It's just a thing.
All right.
Oh, man.
But there were some winners last night. And I'm not talking about winners in that kind of vein. I'm talking about winners in the NFL draft. And
can we give our love to the New York Jets, who to me are the clear winners of round one.
The long-suffering New York Jets.
I mean, Jets fans celebrate because can't remember the last time anything's looked this good for the Jets.
Well, it was an amazing look. They came into the night with a lot of draft capital. They had the number 4 pick overall, and they took the guy we both thought was the best cornerback in the draft with Sauce Gardner. I mean, the Texans took Stingley number 3 overall. I think that should have been inverted. But there, the Jets then, Sauce had fallen to them at 4. Then at 10, they were able to get Garrett Wilson, the great wide receiver out of Ohio State, the second wide receiver off the board. And then Jermaine Johnson. Jermaine Johnson.
Florida State.
Most everyone had in their top 12, at least, in the mocks. He kept falling and falling, and the Jets traded into the first round again to get Jermaine Johnson late. So 3 guys, all of whom might be top 10 talents.
Yeah, well, you know, I think at least the top 1 or 2 in their position groups. And these 3 picks were in Daniel Jeremiah's top 9 of his mock draft. I mean, they got 3 out of the top 9. Like, way to go.
Yeah, it's a great
haul. Douglas, congrats.
Look, it's obviously very rare to get 3 picks in the first round. And there is some noise around that. People will say, well, it'll be a problem when all 3 contracts come up at the same time. Can you handle them all? But just given the portfolio of numbers, one or two of them isn't going to work out. And so, yeah, you've got three guys, all of whom are guys who might be able to get on the field this year. They might well be good starters this season, real time. Certainly Sauce Gardner will be on the field this year. And the Jets have lots of needs, and that makes it almost easier to draft because any position is good.
You and just Garrett take the Wilson best will, player. Too, I think.
Yeah,
as
Garrett
well.
Wilson ought to get on the field. I mean, look, they're all three going to play. They're all going to get their shots. Look, another team that I thought drafted very well, again, they came in with a lot of draft capital, was the other New York team, the Giants.
Yes, agreed.
I mean, they came in with the number 5 pick and the number 7 pick, and they walked out with Kayvon Thibodeau, who might be the best edge rusher in this draft. And then, of course, they got Evan Neal, number 7, who probably is the best tackle in this draft. And so that's a 1-2 punch. They've really bolstered both sides of the line.
Well, and that comes upon the heels of yesterday, the Giants announcing that they are not picking up the 5-year option on Daniel Jones or Dexter Lawrence, the lineman from Clemson. So, you know what? There's a reason. It's called an option. They have not seen enough consistency in either of those players, and so they went in and got a little help for Daniel Jones last night, a lot of help, and Evan Neal loved that pick. And Kayvon Thibodeau, I mean, you can't pass that up if he's sitting there at number 5. They need help everywhere, and I thought they did a great job with who they brought in.
So it's interesting, also in the NFC East, the nature of the beast in the NFL is...
The Cowboys better be watching out now.
Well, the teams that are down and the divisions that are down obviously get more capital, get better picks, and the league is designed for parity. Giants and Eagles upgraded their roster yesterday. Eagles, of course...
Wow. I love Philly's draft, too, last night.
The whose draft?
Phillies.
Oh, yeah, Phillies. Yeah, so when you look at the Eagles, I mean, look, part of their draft was the trade for A.J. Brown. They used the first-round pick. They picked up an elite wide receiver in A.J. Brown, and then they got probably the best defensive tackle, a freak of nature athlete, Jordan Davis out of Georgia, who wowed everybody at the combine. So those are two new strong additions, two all-pro type players that joined the Eagles roster as well.
Yeah. No, your NFC least is looking like it's going to be a lot better.
Well, that's the nature of it. They'll come battling back. All right, so who disappointed you? Who do you think did not fare well yesterday in the draft?
Okay, well, I don't know if it's as dramatic as not fare well. I think Jacksonville missed on their first. And it's not that Trayvon Walker is not going to be great. I think his potential is incredible, and he will be. But if I have got the number one pick, I'm not going to draft on potential. Heck to the no. I mean, I don't know if Jacksonville's planning on making a consecutive approach of number one picks, but I wouldn't have done that. I would have absolutely taken Aiden Hutchinson. 14 sacks, very proven. We see the ceiling for him that can probably even get higher. He's such a high character guy. Trayvon Walker, you know, graded 25 points lower on his Pro Football Focus grade. The percentage of pass wins, you know, it's markedly different by 20 percentage points. It's just a very different, it's potential versus proven.
Yep.
If I'm sitting here at number one and I'm Jacksonville and have spent over $200 million in the offseason and they have done that, I really love what they've done in the offseason, I'm going for proven. I can't afford to go for potential, but they did. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm okay with
no,
that.
No, I would have gone with Aiden Hutchinson as well. I think that would have been a perfect fit for that team. I also wouldn't have minded if they'd taken one of the tackles, the offensive tackles, just to form a wall for their investment in Trevor Lawrence. But that's Jacksonville. I mean, the other one that I thought was a real head-scratcher, the New England Patriots taking Cole Strange. I mean, nobody saw Cole Strange going in the first round at all. The Patriots
mocked at like 69 to seven, late 70s.
Right, and there was some question whether he was going to get into the second round. A lot of teams had him as a third round, and there come the Patriots. They take him at number 29 overall in the first round. They will put him at offensive guard. The one thing you can say two things that are positive. One is he fills a need. They desperately need to upgrade the interior part of their offensive line. And second, by most accounts, he's a very good prospect. He's a guy who the Patriots can plug and play. And so those are two good outcomes for the Patriots. But to take him at 29, when there were so many other good players still on the board, raises questions. And then the second is, of course, they traded back to 29. They were up at 21. And up at 21, they traded with the Chiefs.
Trent McDuffie.
Trent McDuffie.
Why would you allow the Chiefs? You're in the same division. I mean, conference. Why would you allow them to pick up Trent McDuffie? That's a real need for the Chiefs. Oy,
the issue there is that, of course, the Patriots have lost Stephon Gilmore. That was a couple of years. And then they've lost J.C. Jackson. And they have a need at corner. And there was Trent McDuffie, the third best corner on the board. And they traded out of that, went back, and got Cole Strange. Now, they do get the extra picks that will come in the fourth round for trading back. And so there's more work to do for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. If it hadn't been Bill Belichick, I think everyone would be just all over with criticism. Yet, it was interesting because there were some, snickers going around the league. Sean McVay and the Rams.
And Les Snead.
Were making some fun out of Belichick's decision yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I saw them. They were doing a conference when, some sort of press conference when this trade went down, when New England's pick went off, and they just openly scoffed and were laughing. They were clearly flexing some Super Bowl muscles and moxie for sure. And I just, you know, whatever. It's boys club. I guess that's what they do. But I thought it was pretty, I just didn't like the look of it.
It came across, I think, as sort of petty, almost. They were laughing or looking down at Belichick for making this
very
decision.
Very dismissive.
And, yeah, dismissive and diminishing of Belichick. And just in the whole landscape, of course, Belichick's got a handful of rings, and there's Sean McVay with his first. And, of course, one time they matched up in the Super Bowl, Belichick schooled McVay. Where's the humility here, McVay? And on top of that, I might even add, it's such a fine line. As Tony Dungy said the other day, it was sort of interesting to hear him talk. Tony Dungy was noting there's such a fine line between performing well and losing in this league. And there's Sean McVay. He's wearing that Super Bowl ring, laughing at Bill Belichick. But remember, in that NFC Championship game, Jared Goff threw a pass that if a 49er defender had just caught, it was in his hands, and it would have been an interception that would have ended the game, and the 49ers would have gone to the Super Bowl. It's such a fine line.
No, it really is. It really is. And, you know, all I say, Bill Belichick doesn't care what anybody thinks.
Yeah.
But he can say six, and McVay can say, I'm 1-1 again. You know, I've got one.
Yeah.
I mean, so whatever. That's what they do.
All right, so some questions were raised about the Packers draft. They took two guys out of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little surprised.
Walker.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised they took the defensive tackle Wyatt.
Right, Devontae Wyatt. Mm-hmm.
But then they came back and took a linebacker, Quay Walker.
They took Quay Walker first.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, that's right. They got him number 22 overall, and later they came back with Wyatt.
At 28, right.
At 28. But why Quay Walker over N'Kobe Dean? If you're going to go into the linebacker pool out of Georgia, out of that front seven, it just strikes me, I thought, by most accounts, N'Kobe Dean was the better prospect than Quay Walker.
That's what I've seen on every mock I've looked at, and I think it's shocking that N'Kobe Dean is still available. He will go very early in the second. I think I'm a little bit confused by Green Bay's draft, and Aaron Rodgers comes out and says he was, quote, surprised by the Devontae Adams trade, because we're not talking about that, but yet Aaron hasn't been in the news. No one's been talking about him. So
okay, that is interesting.
Bring up something.
Aaron Rodgers today said he was surprised that the Packers traded Devontae Adams. Do you think that he was unaware that the Packers were making this decision? I mean, on the one hand, think of it. Here's Aaron Rodgers trying to extract every last dollar, posturing, maneuvering, to get every last dollar out of this Packers team that's already got capital constraints. So they're up against the cap.
They have a $14 million cap space.
And Rodgers is grabbing every last dollar. And then his best buddy, his compatriot there, Devontae Adams, he wants a lot of money too. And Rodgers is saying, I'm surprised it all didn't work out and the Packers didn't have the money and I had to trade. I don't know. I don't know that I accept at face value most of what Aaron Rodgers says. I think that he may have been surprised or disappointed in the sense he was disappointed. I'm sure he likes playing along Devontae Adams. I think any quarterback in his right mind would want to play with him. But Aaron orchestrated a lot of this. Aaron is the catalyst for the money dilemma that was in Green Bay.
Amen. And guess what? If Aaron Rodgers doesn't have Devontae Adams, I'm not sure he is a two-time MVP. I'm just not sure about that, because I look at this. I remember when San Francisco eliminated Green Bay in a snowstorm I mean, it was regular season Rodgers for the second year in a row.
Yeah.
Remember the Tampa Bay the year before in Green Bay and then San Francisco. So that's a disappointment. And then Rodgers said, I'm going to make my decision quickly so that Green Bay, you know, I'm not going to tie the hands. I'm going to figure out what I want to do. Well, that was a line because he continued that all on past the Super Bowl. He went for another 6 weeks past, I'm going to make my decision quickly. And I think Devontae Adams took note to that and said, why am I sitting here waiting on his decision? I'm sick of being the Robin to this Batman. I'm going to go get myself paid. I'm not waiting on him anymore. I'm not doing this. And so, you know what? I don't think they did tell him. They don't owe that to Aaron Rodgers. The Green Bay Packers don't owe it to him. They've put up with so much garbage with him, let alone the whole vaccine mess, which was Aaron Rodgers is a smart guy.
And it was a distraction to the whole team.
It was a distraction, and it was semantics is what it was. But what I'm thinking about is, you know what, Aaron? You've got teammates that you exposed or, you know, whatever you could have done. How about the workers that are doing your food at the facility, the people that are cleaning your locker? You're going to use your little semantics and think you're all cute so you don't have to wear a mask and you can do what you want. He's so selfish. I don't like it. And so I think Devontae Adams just said, you know what? I'm not going to be subject to waiting on this dude anymore and his stuff. I'm gone.
Fair enough. Okay, when we come back, we're going to look at the Raiders. We're here in Las Vegas. They haven't had a draft pick, but they had some big news today. We'll look at the big news of the Raiders with their three picks from a few years ago, what they're doing. That will be up next when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is an NFL draft edition of The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the Silver Can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Live from Las Vegas, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, the Raiders gave up their draft capital for Devontae Adams, so they've been quiet here at the draft thus far. But they made some news today, going back to the 2019 draft, where they had three number one picks. They've chosen not to exercise the fifth-year option on any of those picks. So walk us through who these three guys are.
So this was the first draft under Mayock and Gruden.
Yep.
And it's tackle Cleveland Ferrell out of Clemson.
Yep.
Then it's running back Josh Jacobs, and it's safety Jonathan Abram.
Yep.
All of them Ferrell was taken four, and then they were taken at like 23 and 24, I think.
Yep.
And, you know, I get that. After starting 25 games, Ferrell hasn't started any of the games last year. Jacobs had a big drop-off after two Pro Bowl seasons, so it's been tricky. But this new regime is the same what they need.
Well, this is when we see it. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll talk some more Raider football. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.